and welcome everyone to tonight's part two of a series of four Clear Light Community Calls with Shiva. And tonight's call is the arguments we make for our own limitations. My name is Molly Rowan, and I'm so pleased to be here with you this evening. I'm co-hosting tonight with a longtime friend and student of Shiva's, Chidharma, and in just a moment he'll be introducing Shiva for our meditation and reflection period tonight. I just wanted to make a few brief announcements. We do have posted last week's audio on the website. I have to do a few last-minute tweaks with the Amazon hosting, but that'll be streaming and available tonight for everyone to listen to. It was a wonderful call last week with many people gathered, and quite surprising at the deep transmission that we can achieve together in this way. I'd like, for those of you who haven't been with us yet, just to warmly welcome you and invite you to consider joining us weekly, and also to know again that we have audio recordings posted at the website, clearlightcommunity.com. We also encourage and are grateful for our monthly Dharma supporters. It's a monthly giving program that makes these calls free to you. And we thank those who have opted in thus far. If you decide you'd like to come in on a per-call basis, we also have that option. And finally, if you would like to stay connected with Shiva and receive e-news, please also sign up for his e-newsletter on the landing page of the website. So tonight's call, just a logistical note, if you have a question or a reflection, please know that when you press 1 on your keypad, it just kind of notes to me that you are raising your hand, and then we can just know that you have a question or a thought or a sharing for Shiva, and it will not interrupt the flow of the evening's call. There is no bells or anything that ring. So on that note, I'm really pleased to be here with you all and would like to introduce to you Chidharma. And Chidharma will introduce Shiva. Welcome, Chi.
Hello, everybody. So last week, Molly asked me if I would host this, and I spent the next few days thinking about what I could say. And out of all the amazing experiences I've had with Shiva, the light and transmission and just really all the powerful experiences, one experience that came to mind, especially which goes along with this theme of arguing for your limitations, is, as some of you know, I don't know how long ago it was, but Shiva was in a motorcycle accident and here in Portland. And the day after the accident, I went to go see him. And as somebody who was just in an accident, you might think they were pissed off, angry, not in a good mood. And I think one of the most amazing stories I could share about Shiva was that moment when I walked into the hospital. The first thing he said to me wasn't, "Can you believe what happened?" or, "Oh my God, that horrible driver, I'm in so much pain." One of the first things out of his mouth was, "We need to start thinking about the next solstice and where we're going to have it." And in that moment, I was just amazed that in the amount of pain he was experiencing and the distress and just all the things that he knew he had to deal with, that was at the forefront of his mind. And I think that story really just, as best as I could think of, just highlights Shiva and what he's about and his dedication and his support. And, Buddhists talk about having a one-pointed focus. And it was never more apparent in that moment that Shiva was 50,000% dedicated to the authentic awakening of his students and just everyone that he comes in contact with. So if there's any doubt, I just want everyone to realize that you're on the line with a remarkable being, and we're just lucky to have you on the phone. So without further ado, I will pass this along to Shiva.
Thank you, Chaydharma. I've known Chaydharma for many years, and I went to Nepal with him a few years ago, and it was the most wonderful and amazing trip, and I cannot think of a better traveling companion than he was. He was always happy, always positive, and funny. And I love to be around happy, positive, and funny people. Which kind of ties in a little bit with this evening talk. But before we go any further, I would like for us all to just take a moment. And as normal, I want you to center yourself in your heart. And as you think about the heart, I want you to think about, you know, the mantra of the heart, which is, it's an exhale. It's if you think the heart being surrounded by the lungs, it starts to make a little sense, I guess. But right now, I'd like for you to just focus on your heart and breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth very deeply, and just focus right there with me as we center together and inwardly connect. We do this just for three or four breaths now. So just go with me. Center right into the heart and smile. Breathe in. Sit with me just for a second. Feel that area. Sink into it. And feel that connects all of us together. Very good. Slowly open your eyes if you'd like, or you can just keep them closed. As we're starting this new venture of audio transmissions, we all look forward to the day when we can actually see this live streaming. I think it would be much more powerful. But I think this is a good beginning. It gives us a chance to sit with each other all at the same time, tuning in together. I think that this is a very powerful thing for us to do. It'll be very healing. This is a time of great transition, a time of great energetic movement. And I believe that it is the beginning of the golden age. I'm very excited. I am not at all depressed, or I'm not at all concerned about what's coming up. What I do feel very strongly is that the best and the brightest is just in front of us, and all we have to do is take that step. We go through this life and we look at our experiences, and we can't help but compare it to others, because each one of us is a unique individual. We all have our own reality that we're viewing this all of this creation through. We're viewing it through our five senses. We're viewing this reality through our experiences. We're viewing this reality through our language, our society, our view of society, our view of politics, our view of religion, our view of everything. Everything that we experience causes us to view this incredible creation through our own eyes. And through that, we create our view of the world, our experience of the world. And some of us create more positive things in some areas, and then we turn right around in other areas of our life we're very negative. We may, for instance, have our relationship area worked out quite well. We have wonderful relationships, both romantic and in friends and in family. We just get along great. But we may not get along good with our finances, maybe. Or we may have other issues, like making a decision about buying a high-priced item, such as an automobile. We just can't seem to pull it off. And we know that we are short in certain areas because we watch other people do what we cannot do, and they seem to just do it with such ease. And we wonder, you know, how can I become successful? How can I live a more happy life? I know I would be better off if I could get my bills paid. It's just such a drag on me. And I have these bills, and gosh, I can't go to retreats. I can't do this. I can't help my friends out. I can't give to charities. I would just like to have more money. And it seems like no matter what I do, I'm broke. Or perhaps it might be in our relationships, that we start relationships out great, and then they always end up turning into something monstrous or horrible. And we see other people who are in wonderful relationships that last for years, maybe a lifetime. And we wonder, what can we do to change? And I think that's just part of our expression. That's just part of being on this earth, part of being a human. We're always looking to better ourselves. And so one of the things that pops up immediately is how we argue for our limitations. And there's a reason for this. I was thinking and contemplating this talk today, and I realized that what I'm talking about really requires like a whole intensive weekend, which I would like to do. But it's a weekend on how we create our world and how we can change it. So I'm giving you kind of a thumbnail sketch this evening on this. And I'm going to give you some little pointers that might help you out. The first, realize that the reason that you view life through limited eyes is because you're human. And you were born into this world with limited eyesight, limited ears, limited sense of touch and smell and taste. We have a limited sense of our psychic abilities and our occult abilities, and all of our experiences that we've had have either created positive or negative memories. We have a lifetime that has brought us to where we are right now and has created the situation that we're facing. And we don't need to be a victim about it, because that would be silly. But what we do need to do is kind of start seeing what can we do to change it. And the first thing is to quit being negative. That's hard to do, because many times we have been raised in a negative situation where people just are naturally negative. Victor Swar told Yogananda that if you argue for your limitations, you can have them. I'm going to repeat that. It's very important. If you argue for your limitations, you can have them. Don Miguel Ruiz wrote a book called The Four Agreements, and one of the things that he says in that book is very powerful. He says that our words are casting spells, that the words of our mouth cast spells. In the Bible it says, from the heart the mouth speaks. An interesting thing also is from the heart, where your karma, the intent of the heart, where your karma is created. These are all very, very powerful thoughts to contemplate, and I would invite you to do that. But right now, let's just take one example. Let's say that a person comes up to you and says, you know, it's time for you to get a new car. Why don't you go out and buy a new car? And then watch yourself. Watch how you argue with that. Well, I do need a car, but every time there's the but, that's when you're arguing. That's when you're casting a spell. But I don't have the money right now. My bills are too high. But my old car is just fine, and I'll get around to getting it when I get the good deal. In other words, we start immediately arguing for our limitations. This happens in every area of our life. It happens in meditation itself. We start having a really great meditation, and then we think, oh, wow, I'm getting out there, I'm going there, and then we start pushing against it. Start, creating names for it. We start arguing with the experience rather than just sitting with it and allowing it to be what it needs to be. So how would it be if somebody said, time for you to get a new car, and you said, I like that. And you just dropped it right there. Didn't say no, or I can't afford it, or it's not time yet, or my old one's good enough, or that was too nice a car, I don't need a car that nice. What are your arguments? Why is it that you can't find a better place to live? What are your arguments? And I'm suggesting from a mystical point of view, all of your arguments against it are lies. They're fabrications. But they're lies and fabrications that have a lot of power behind them. You were taught not to have a certain level of experience when it comes to certain things. You were taught not to have a happy relationship because people in your life never did, and they always argued for, I love somebody, but, they always break my heart. We argue and argue and argue with our good, and we have it. We argue for our limitations, and we have them. We cast spells upon our experience. We're constantly saying, I want that, but, and then we cast a spell as to why we can't have it. We argue with it. And the fact of the matter is that you are a child of the universe. You are made in the image and likeness of God, of the Almighty Creator, that has no limitations, that does not argue with its creation. It just watches it. Watches it as it just flows life right up through rocks. Amazing. I think that if you just contemplate that a little bit and quit arguing with yourself and watching how you justify your life, watching those ways in which you justify why you live and experience the way you do, even though you may hate it, you may not like it, but why are you continuing? What is the M&M that's rewarding you in that experience? Is it a false sense of humility where you think you can't have that because that would not be a humble thing to do? I always find that people who are not trying to get on an ego trip are usually on the biggest one of all. Usually it's a reverse ego trip. And reverse ego is even more nasty than an outward ego trip. We need to own our own sense of being and realize that right here, right now, in this space, you're perfect. Right here, right now, we are being provided every experience that will bring us toward enlightenment. As we move our heart and open our heart to new experiences, and let go of the painful past and quit reliving it. Let go of the shame and the guilt of past transgressions and move into a new, brighter way of being. As we start taking control of our life in a happy, wonderful way, developing our compassion, developing our wisdom in dealing with things, and keeping our mouth shut before we realize what the intent is that goes out. I think that's really important. Wisdom a lot of times is not just making the right choice. Wisdom many times is just keeping your mouth shut just for a few seconds until you realize what the energy is behind the words you're about to speak. it's very important for us to look at the energy behind the words that we speak and the intent that's behind those words. Because from a mystical and spiritual point of view, the words and the deeds that we do are really just outer reflections of the inner intention of the heart. And it's from that inner intention of the heart that our karma is created. And the karma that we create is our life. So you can, for instance, say happy words, but if your intent is full of fear and anger and you want people to approve of you or can recognize you, then that's the intent and that's the karma, and that's not very good karma. We need to be selfless, altruistic. We need to care for each other. We're just here passing through. Just here for a moment. And it's a beautiful moment if you take time to just look around you. I'm parked right now overlooking a small river. It's so beautiful. Trees are all green. The grass is high. Everything. It's just incredible. And in front of me, there's this little lizard on a rock catching the sun. What a moment. Every day is full of these moments. Chock full of the beauty of life. It's chock full of people caring about each other and trying to do the very best they can. I think if you watch the news or you watch tabloid news especially, it just drags you into a world that you don't need to be dragged into. Better to spend some time out smelling some roses, looking at children playing. There is so much beauty in this world. Drink of that cup. That's the cup that will nourish you and heal you. Become positive, not in a hopeful or a wishful thinking sort of way or some Pollyanna thing that if I say positive, it's going to make it positive. No, be positive. Look at your heart. You know, do you say negative things and then try to cover it up with a positive word? Or do you say positive things and then try to cover it up with a negative word? What are you doing? Just keep your mouth shut for a while. Look at your intention. Why do you want the new car? Well, it will get me get around good. It would allow me to have some peace of mind. You know, you can go down all the positive reasons. And then you stop. You don't need to go into why you don't need it or it's not the right time or, you know, you don't make the money for it. Who's to say how it's going to come to you? But can you just accept that that's a good thing for you to have and that you will get it as soon as you can? And that it will come your way maybe in some way that you hadn't planned. I keep waiting. People have fun with. Waiting for people to wake up and realize how amazing they are. I keep waiting on friends. Look at this world through enlightened eyes and see the beauty all around. Just take the moment. Be with it. Just like that little lizard on the rock in front of me, sitting there kicking in the sun, smelling the air, warming up. Perfect. Millions of years of evolution. There it is, right there. On a rock that's millions of years old. How incredible this life is. How wonderful it is. Oh my. Oh my. So let's not just say positive words, let's be positive. Quit arguing for our good or against our good. Just accept it. What you should be wanting in this life is not things. You should be wanting positive, wonderful experiences. I drive a 1992 Geo Metro. I love this car. I enjoy driving it. It's fun, it's noisy, it's rattly, and it gets 50 miles to the gallon. And when I get a better car, I will enjoy it as much as this one. How it will come about, when it will come about, I don't care. But I know that right now I'm enjoying where I'm at. I love this life right where I'm at. And I know that as I love this life, in this moment, as I drink deeply of this moment, then whatever comes my way, I've set the pattern up. I will enjoy a mansion on a hill, and I can enjoy camping out in a tent. One is not above the other to me, but it's a state of mind. Seek the highest. Align with the highest. Always be positive. It's a beautiful thing. Eternity is in everything and in everyone. Look deep enough. There it is. So I'd like for us now to take just a moment. I'm going to meditate for just a minute or two. And I will end with Namaste. And then I'll turn it over to Molly and we'll start the question and answer. But let's just right now go within for a meditation. We're going to have another meditation at the end. But right now, let's finish this with meditation. Go into your heart. Smile. In your heart. Here it goes. Slowly, your eyes. I'm going to turn it over to Molly now. We'll entertain any questions or concerns that you may have concerning this. Molly?
Thank you so much, Shiva. That was beautiful. And just reminding everyone gently that if you do have a reflection or a question, to go ahead and press 1 on your keypad, and I'll unmute your mic so that you can reflect and share. And actually, while the circle is feeling into what we've just come through with you, Shiva, I'd like to reflect, if I may, on, I found it really deep and rich and robust what you were saying about, you know, we often think of when we argue for our limitations and when our egos are, you know, we think of people that have strong egos or that are exemplifying that ego space. But it was so interesting to me to hear you turn that on its head in the humility piece, and that indeed, that's almost perhaps a trippier space or a trickier space for one to be in, of being in a space of humility or of pretended humility, perhaps. And how does one noodle or self-evaluate and understand if one is in that space? Are there ways to identify that you're coming from that flip side?
Yeah, I think one way to recognize it is if it's authentic or not. And authentic is another word that people may not grasp, but English and words, language is a tough thing. But I see people, an ego trip, ego, as I'm going to define it, is a self-definition, a projected self-definition. This is who I am. You know, look at me, look at me. And one of the ways you can have people look at you is say, look at me, I'm humble. Or I would do that, but I am too spiritual. Now, if that doesn't make you want to throw up, I don't know what does. This is what I call a reverse ego. It's taking pride in not doing something or not being qualified. I get so sick of people saying, I'm just not ready yet. And I'm looking at them and I'm seeing, here's a person that's sat with me maybe for 10 years and they're telling me they're not ready. What is that about? Or I'm too spiritual for that. And that's their way of justifying why they're not accomplishing anything. How silly is that? You know, it's a reverse ego. The reverse ego is very tricky. And people get very self-righteous about their definition. And they argue for their limitations through that self-righteous definition of, well, I would, but, you know, I'm much too spiritual to go there. And I just think that's crazy. It doesn't ring true to me. True humility is very quiet. In fact, there are no words. True humility is humble. And it doesn't need to be explained or expressed. It's an attitude. And it's not a self-effacing attitude. I think that's the thing. It's not putting yourself down. Does that clarify it, or did I just muck up the water even more?
Well, that's great. It does clarify it. Thank you.
Well,
there's so many subtleties to it, too. I mean, there's a lot of subtlety in all of this work and awareness.
You know, I've got something else I'm going to throw at you, just for fun. We work very difficult, very, very hard in this spiritual self-discovery to get rid of our old ego, our old definition. And too often, we let go of the old mundane ego that we were raised with that was pretty obnoxious and pretty limiting. And in its place, we replace it with a spiritual ego, which is even more obnoxious and more limiting than the old one. And it's harder to get. A lot of spiritual teachers fall into this. They create this spiritual ego that they are above reproach. I am the one that knows it, you don't. And you, if you think about that, if you just think about that saying, I am above, I know more than you, I am, you know, come to me, they say. I'll fill your cup. And you don't need to bother with it. You know, just depend on me. That's a spiritual ego. And we all deal with it. I mean, you get rid of one ego, you end up with another. And then finally you just say, well, gosh, it's not about me at all. It's about enlightenment. It's about the Dharma. And I think that's a good spot. So spiritual ego is even more obnoxious than a mundane one. And trickier. Much trickier.
It could be said, perhaps, that the further down the path you go, the more subtle it becomes.
Yeah. And then to you, but not to other people. Other people, they start seeing it after a while, especially if they're aware of that, oh, this is a spiritual ego? What is this? You know? it's a tough one. It's a tough one. Humility is really, it's really quite a gift and quite an art. Good one. You do pretty good at it, generally. Let you know. You don't beat yourself up. Are there any other questions out there? Because I realize
yes,
you may not.
There is one, Shiva. Jen.
Oh, okay. Hi, Jen.
Actually, it's Jen.
Jen? Okay.
Hi. I wonder, how can you tell the difference between when you are working towards something or desiring something and you're not getting it, how can you tell the difference between you yourself are limiting yourself in some unconscious way or that it's really not meant to happen, like that the universe is telling you, no, this isn't what you need right now?
Ah, okay. That's a good question. Okay. No, I don't. That's a really good question. The thing is that we're in an unlimited universe here. There are no limitations to it, but you have to look at what are your reasons for wanting it. If it's for the good of all, if it's going to advance people, then that's a good intention. And I don't see the universe arguing with you on that. If you're doing it so people will recognize you, or if you're doing it out of an intention that's based upon fear, or that if I get this, then people will finally recognize that I'm worthwhile or that I'm worthy, or that if I do this, I will somehow become more than what I am before, and you will, because we have to just look at our intentions. I guess that's what I'm getting back to here. Always looking at our intentions. And what we do is, if the intention of the heart is pure and good, then you go for it. Now, sometimes we head down one path and we go down it a ways, and then things shift and change. And so we have to know when to hold them and when to fold them, as they say. But on the other side of it, we don't want to just fold it because people are telling us it's not going to work, or because we are in a situation that suddenly is very difficult. If you're going to change from one mindset into another, there is going to be obstacles. You're going to have to overcome yourself. You are the person that you have to overcome. Now, sometimes when you go down a path and you start to work toward a project, and after you get into it a while, it's just nothing but opposition, and it's like, am I listening to my higher self here? Or is this my ego? Is my ego telling me I need to push through, or is this the right thing to do? And there have been many times in my life when I was absolutely sure I was going the right path, just absolutely sure of it. And I put everything into it because that's what I do. And then after a while, things would change. And the path I was going in didn't work anymore. An example might be that it might be really good to learn how to bowl. So you start bowling and you're having a lot of fun and you meet friends and you're just having a great time and you're bowling. And it's difficult because it's a lot of precision and a lot of finesse that's in bowling, and gosh, it makes it even harder when everybody's drinking beer but you're having a good time. And then one day you realize you don't like bowling anymore, so then you stop. That's kind of tough when you're the head of the bowling league, as I've said, but you have to always give yourself you are not what you do. You are what the intention is behind what you're doing. And if the intention becomes balled up and into some sort of an ego gratification thing that you will be a failure if you don't do this, or that this defines you, then you should just drop it, no matter what, because it's not about you. It's not about who you are. I know who you are. I've seen you. You've never had to prove yourself to me once. Not once. But that doesn't mean that you don't try to change things in your world for the better. Why not? Why not? It's a beautiful thing. I'm all about altruistic acts. I'm all about doing things for others. I'm all about doing nice things for the planet. And I also am all about watching the intention behind it. And I think if we could give this second question and answer part, a lot of it is coming down to the ego. And to just come back to the intention of the heart. Why are you doing it? And if it's a good thing, you may have to just push through. If it's right, you have to go with your heart. And that's where I'm going to end this with you, is that you have to really look at your heart. If it's coming from your heart of hearts, and you know in your heart of hearts that it's right, then you should push it, even if it costs you your life. You do what's right. We are slaves to the truth. We are slaves to the Dharma. We recognize that we are infinite beings, and we are certainly not limited to this lifetime or this little planet. We are much bigger than this. But here we are, right here, right now. I teach, and sometimes nobody shows up. I do what I can, spread the Dharma, because it's in my heart to do so. If nobody shows up, I will speak to the rocks. If 1,000 people show up, that's good too. But it's all about the intent of my heart. That's what counts. And that's what should count for you. Yes, there will be times when everything goes wrong and that everybody will be against you. But if you know in your heart that it's right, it doesn't make any difference. You just do it. And I hope that helps you out, sweetie.
Thank you.
Good luck. Contemplate it. Small, one big contemplation. Any other questions?
Again, if you have a question, just press 1 on your keypad.
Well then, if there are no questions, then I'm going to meditate here for just a little bit. And what I would like for you to do with me during this time is to quietly go within. And I'm going to have Molly set the meditation for 3 minutes. There will be a bell at the end of the meditation. And then you'll slowly take a few breaths. And then shortly after that, I will say namaste. And you can say namaste as you hang up. And thank you once again for being part of this. I look forward to hearing from you. If you want to, email me or let us know at... Let us know at the Clear Light Community website what we can do to maybe make this a little better or improve it. We're here for you. This is really all about you. Now let's go within our heart. And now I'd like for you to focus on your heart, and I'd also like for you to focus on your third eye, which is right in the middle of your forehead. Those two areas, I want you to focus on them right now. I'm going to run a little bit of energy through all of us. Open your heart. You'll feel it. Open your heart. You won't feel nothing. The way it always is. Your heart. Focus on the third eye. There you go. Again, Molly will ring the bell. yourself back into your heart.
Namaste, everyone.
Stay.
You are currently the only person in this conference.